Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you all here this morning. And lovely faces, all smiley faces. Isn't that nice? It's good. God wants to welcome you this morning, personally. Why? Because he loves you. And you're very precious to him. And you might think, well, he can't love me. They don't know what I'm like. But God does love you. You are very precious in his eyes. And as I welcome you this morning, I welcome you in the Lord's name and pray that he will bless you and encourage you. Just some interesting notices this morning. We have a special birthday, and it's Margaret's special birthday, I understand, or so I've been told. Is that correct? Wonderful. And brother, you need to repent of that remark. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Margaret, and I understand Lexi had a birthday which we didn't remember. So Lexi, we're going to sing happy birthday to you as well. Is that okay? Jolly good. So, oh, I've got to start it off, so that's fun, isn't it? Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mother Lexie. Happy birthday to you. Wonderful. I will now pass over to Stephen. Thank you.
We've always said that we try and get as many insults in on a Sunday morning as possible, so there we go. Abby, would you like to come up, please? Come up onto the first step. There you go. Excellent. Now, this is Abby. Some of you won't know Abby at all, and some of you will only know Abby as Ollie's beautiful girlfriend. I think Ollie is such a blessed man to have this lady in his life. It was, in fact, Abby who said, you ought to go to church. If you want to go to somewhere in Paignton, go to a Baptist church. And so it's Abby's fault that Ollie's here. And we're delighted. But Abby, just tell us a bit about who you are.
So yeah, I'm Abby, or Abigail. I do normally go to Wrexham Community Church, so that's probably why you haven't seen me that much. I've been a Christian all my life, basically. Grew up in a Christian household. But just recently, especially being finishing A-levels and finishing school, I've just felt the call to go and do some missionary work. So yeah, I'll be talking about that in a second.
Okay. So, anybody been watching the women's football, the Lionesses? This is a bit of a clue as to what's going to happen. Whilst others are going to be waiting for A-level results and thinking, oh, that will get me into this university or that course or whatever, Abby doesn't need to worry about her A-level results for getting in somewhere, because the place she's seeking to get into is a bit different. So where are you going?
Yeah, I'm hoping to go to Australia in October with basically a charity or an organisation called YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. Some of you probably will know it. And so yeah, I'll be doing 3 months in Australia there, and then 3 months in Papua New Guinea doing my missionary work. So yeah, I don't actually need A-levels for that. So I did do A-levels, but I don't really need them. But yeah, so yeah, if you want to talk to me about it, feel free afterwards.
Ollie said, can we talk to you a bit about Abby and perhaps fundraising and different things? Because if you go on mission, it's not like you can get a government grant for it. Maybe sometime you would be able to. But there's a cost to going, and there's a need for prayer to going. And so I said, well, we'd be delighted to have you up here and say, yes, We would love to pray for you, and David and Rowena are leading prayers later on in our service, and we'll be specifically praying for you as part of that. Also, some of you might think, well, yes, I would like to invest in Abby and her training and this outreach to a place that probably we will never go to, Papua New Guinea, but it's part of the wonderful world that God has made. And every nation, as we heard last week, every nation is loved by God. And so if you think, well, yes, I'd like to get behind Abby in prayer and giving to support this outreach, this training and this outreach, then do have a word with Abby afterwards. Speak to Ollie as well. I'm sure he knows lots about it. But when I mentioned to Sheila that we were going to put this in at the beginning of the service, her response was, oh, I've already got my service plan. No, it wasn't that at all. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry at all, Letty. I just want to keep you awake. Her response was, how exciting. How exciting. So can you tell us perhaps just one or two things that you think this is what I need from God?
I think I will need confidence to go, because I will be going there on my own. And so prayer for confidence will be really great, I think, because it will be a very long flight. And I don't know, I am a bit nervous for it, but I am excited as well. So just prayer for confidence will be really good whilst I'm there as well, not just getting there, but whilst I'm actually there. And also just prayer for like good connections there, like good friendships would be really good. Yeah, just like lifelong friendships and connections, so it can lead me on to the next step afterwards. That would be really good.
And you're in a good place, Abby, because I said to her just outside, right, this is what we're going to do. We just go with it. Just go with it. And that's so wise in the sense of we have our plans and so on. But at the end of the day, go with the Holy Spirit and he'll do it. And that's what we'll be praying for. So thank you for enthusing us with your smile and your desire to get out there. And I'm sure that many of us will be inspired to to do our part. Bless you. Thank you very much. Give her a round of applause to her.
Amazing. Wonderful. God will bless you. Let's commence our service with our first hymn, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you. Thank you. sit down, please? Thank you. Pray to the Lord now, and it's important that we talk, because prayer is talking to the Lord. Don't ever be scared of saying how you feel to the Lord. He understands whatever is happening, and he can be right there with you. But let's bring our service to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to come and to worship. Father, we thank you that you want to bless us and encourage us and challenge us. And we thank you, Father God, that you know us by name. You know how we feel. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're there right beside us. And Lord, we just pray this morning that our praise and worship will go up to the throne of God. And that you too will be blessed, Lord, because of that. Because you long to hear our praises. So we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity this morning and pray that you will bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'd like to read a scripture that encourages us to praise and worship. Psalm 34. And this was a challenge to me this morning, and it may be a challenge to you. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. It's quite easy, isn't it, to praise the Lord when everything's going right. But it is harder when things are difficult. But the Word of God encourages us to do that. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Thank you, Lord, for your written word. And we're going to have three worship songs. Feel free to stand or sit as you feel comfortable. And first one is Come Now is the Time to Worship. Thank you.
Come now is the time to worship. To give your heart, come just as you are to worship, come just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship.
Just as you are to worship.
Lord, worthy to give thanks and praise. Thank you. The Lord, and because he is worthy of praise, we can come within the veil. Thank you.
Thank you.
sit down. Thank you. Angela, I think you've got one or two children. There's Lexi at the back. You've been colouring, haven't you? That looks good. Whoops. Okay, let's pray for Angela and the two ladies, young ladies that are going upstairs, that God will bless them. Father, we thank you and praise you that you love children. You love them so much that you said, let the children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So we pray for them this morning, Lord. Pray for Angela and her helper, that you will bless them, that they will have a good time together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Right, our reading this morning is from Zechariah chapter 13, and it's on page 957 in the church Bibles. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. And if anyone still prophesies, their father and mother, to whom they were born, will say to them, you must die because you have told lies in the Lord's name. Then their own parents will stab the one who prophesies. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. They will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Each will say, I am not a prophet, I am a farmer. The land has been my livelihood since my youth. If someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish. Yet 1/3 will be left in it. This third I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. Amen.
Father, we thank you for Pastor Stephen, and we just pray, Lord, this morning that you will bless his word to us. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are open, and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Just want to make sure this microphone's at the right level. Thank you, Andrew. Brilliant. Right. Well, for those who've not heard Zechariah before, you're thinking, what on earth is going on in this reading we just had with parents stabbing their children? And it's very strange at first look. And as we've been exploring it each week, so God has been showing us what's going on at the time in which it was written, in which the time it was spoken, what it meant for those people, but also what God's saying to us today. Last week in chapter 12, and I would highly recommend that you go onto the website and listen to the service if you haven't had opportunity to do so. We had an ace sermon, and it was wonderful. God spoke to us very powerfully. Ace, three letters, A, C, and E. We heard how God is going to judge the enemies of Jerusalem, and that the house of David, the people of Jerusalem, will have a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look upon Jesus, the one they have pierced, and mourn. These things that Andrew gave us, was one, acknowledging that the Lord alone is God. He is our creator. C was combat. We're in a spiritual battle, but the Lord has won the victory on the cross. And our E for eyes, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, whatever else is going on in our lives. So acknowledge the Lord, combat, we're in a fight, eyes on the Lord. Today, our reading starts with the phrase, on that day. And you may have seen on the notices going round that's as good a theme as I could get for today. On that day. It's there in chapter 12, verse 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, and 11. It's in chapter 13, we've just read, verse 1, verse 2, verse 4. On that day. So what's happening on that day? I was just thinking, what's A-level results day, Ollie? Thursday, the 17th of August. So on that day, we know what's going to happen. There will be people in tears, there'll be people happy, there'll be people who get results they wanted, the results. We can imagine what would happen on that day. But what is happening here on that day? In chapter 12, on that day, referred to a day of judgment on the enemies of Jerusalem and Judah, the people of God, because the Lord was fighting for them. But in this chapter, it's something completely different. It's about cleansing the Lord's people, making them clean. From what? On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. So that begs the question, what kind of sin? What kind of impurity? And the chapter tells us, Zechariah tells us, one of the main reasons for the judgment that had come upon Judah and the people of Israel in the past, in the very recent past, was that the people had bowed down to idols, false gods that are not gods at all. The first of the Ten Commandments that God gave to the people through Moses in the desert as they'd come out of Egypt, he said this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. Not interesting, love the Lord your God, that's different. That's the greatest commandment. But this is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And the second command was quite a long one. It says this, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You've only got one God, and you must not create for yourself any other gods that you bow down to. God had saved the people, his people, Israel, from the Egyptians. But even while those commandments were being given to Moses up on the mountain, the ones I've just read out, even while God was giving those messages, what did the people do? Those people, I just don't get it. And he shows you a spiritual thing. They've seen God part the Red Sea, take them through on the slightly muddy but otherwise dry riverbed. They then see all the Egyptian army chasing after them, try and do the same, and God completely covered them over with water. They can't wait for Moses to come back down the mountain with what the Lord is saying to him. And they say to Aaron, his brother, Tell you what, we've got some gold that all the Egyptians gave us when we left Israel. Amazing why that happened, another story. Would you melt it down for us? Make it into a golden calf, and we'll bow down to the golden calf and say it was the golden calf that rescued us from Egypt. Is that stupid, or is it not stupid? Besides everything else about it, it makes no sense. It wasn't the calf that had saved them. It was God who had saved them. But they still bowed down before an idol. Just before Moses died, as they were preparing to enter the promised land, after 40 years roaming around the wilderness, Moses told them, when you go into that land, do not worship the gods of the people of Canaan. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. So they'd had their warning. It was idolatry, worshipping idols, false gods that are no gods, that brought God's judgment upon them and eventually exile from the promised land into Babylon. And that was in their very recent history. So, what about us? Do we have idols, individually or as a people? The world around us has plenty of idols. They literally bow down. Who's seen the first? Has anybody seen the first match of the Premiership season? Anybody watch football at all? You're spared. Well, you will see if you ever watch the highlights. You see goals. What do? They bow down. They bow down. An idol is anything that takes God's rightful place as our Creator, our Lord, our Saviour, our Provider, our Protector, or anything else you can name that God does. It's only He that does it. Anyone or anything that comes first in our lives is an idol. If I put Leslie above God, she won't mind me saying this because she knows she's told me this the other way around. If I put Leslie first ahead of God, then I have placed Leslie in a place that she doesn't want to be. And she shouldn't be. God is God. Who do we worship? Satan, our enemy, does not want us to worship God. It was his pride and his desire to be God and to be worshipped that brought his downfall. It's why he was cast out of heaven. Ever since, he has been trying to get people to worship him in one form or another. He even tried to get Jesus to worship him. He offered him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, as long as you bow down and worship me. The arrogance of Satan to say to Jesus, who created everything, including those kingdoms, you bow down to me and I'll give them to you. We need to declare every day, the Lord is our God. I will have no other gods. And the name of our Lord God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the one who will provide for me, protect me. I will serve him and worship him only. Secondly, what God want to do? He wanted to purify them, cleanse them, by removing false prophets. The people of God had always been troubled by false prophets seeking to deceive them. Before the exile, before the people were all put away to Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah warned God's people that God's judgment was coming upon them because of their idolatry and their disobedience, and that they could not escape it. But while he was prophesying the truth of God, the false lying prophets were saying, everything's fine. Nothing's going to happen to us. We'll be fine. Our allies will save us. We're not going to be taken over by the Babylonians. No harm will come to you. After the exile, Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall of the city of Jerusalem, and he was attacked by the lies of a false prophet hired by those who were seeking to stop the work. Nehemiah 6 says, I realized this person speaking these lies had been paid to speak them, to stop the work. Satan is the father of lies. He started in the Garden of Eden, and he hasn't stopped since. And the most powerful lies are those that come in the form of religious people who appear to be speaking the truth. So what about us? Who are the false prophets? What are the lies that we face today? It's really easy, in a way, to spot those who deny who Jesus is. At our church meeting yesterday, Richard told us about 50, 60 years ago, when there was a move in the Baptist church, like many churches, to deny Jesus being God. Now, that's fairly easy to spot. But the church has always had to be very alert to spot the false prophets within, whose word is much more subtle. Those wolves in sheep's clothing who do Satan's work. Satan's work is to steal, kill, and destroy the sheep. And the wolves in sheep's clothing are joining in with that. We're warned by Paul in his second letter, Timothy, these words that apply to the last days that we are in. And never was a truer word spoken than these. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We are living in these days. Today, some church leaders and some preachers will tell you everyone goes to heaven. They've even written books about it. That God, being love, which he is, they say, wrongly, that there is no justice for the exploited and oppressed. No need for repentance of sin. No barrier to the Lord's presence. Everybody's heaven. Everybody's welcome to come to heaven just as you are. Does that make any sense? Heaven will be like earth. There are many people alive today who would regard this as hell on earth. And if nothing changes, if there's no justice, if there's no judgment, if there's no cleansing, if there's no repentance and forgiveness and new life, just stay as you are, then heaven will be just like here. Some of us may think that's all right, because we're not ill, we've got plenty of money, we've got plenty of food, nice friends. And we haven't discovered problems yet, but you're probably about 6 months old. It may be a very popular idea, but since when has the good news of Jesus been popular? It's just the same as the false prophets in Jeremiah's time. They were prophesying peace where there was no peace. Those who call bringers of bad news Jeremiahs. Oh, he's such a Jeremiah. Always prophesying doom. They forget, or perhaps they don't even realize, that everything Jeremiah said came true. God's judgment did come. And dreadful that day was. The word of the Lord makes it quite clear that people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And instead of people telling people that isn't true, we need to tell them the rest of the scripture. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. We just sung a song, the one that, my apologies, I didn't put it on the computer. Come, now is the time to worship. Because there's a day coming when you'll have no choice. The people outside who follow other gods, other religions, on that day, they will bow down to Jesus. They will confess Jesus is Lord. They will have no choice because they will see him as he is. Right now, we have a choice to repent and to worship him. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not this time to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who wait for him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, what is God going to do on that day? On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. As Ezekiel says, the same words, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will clean you from all your impurities and from all your idols. God's desire is that his people are clean, pure, holy, as he is. Why? Because then they can be with him, which is what he's always wanted. The book of Zechariah starts with his call for the people to return to him, and the promise that if you return to me, I'll return to you. The only way that can happen is for sin to be removed and for the people to be cleansed. So how's he going to do it? Three things. Firstly, banish the names of the idols from the land so they are remembered no more. This isn't just stopping the worship of idols, but banishing their names. Their identity and power is in their name. Idols only have power if people use their names and bow down to them. Forget them all. Banish them all. Often, it's interesting, very rarely in the Old Testament will you hear the names of the gods that people are bowing down to. So, banish the names, and then remove the false prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. The prophets, and this is the strange bit, the prophets and the people will be so ashamed of who they are. The false prophets will be so ashamed of who they are. The people will show ashamed of who they are, that they'll take off their prophet's uniform. Now, give me a prophet's uniform. Tell me a prophet, and you know what he was dressed like. I think you know. A New Testament prophet. John the Baptist. What was he dressed in? Camel's hair. He was a hairy man, but not like this hair. Camel's hair. He had a prophet's uniform on. That's where everybody went out to. Oh, he's a prophet. He's got a beard, sandals, and he's got a hairy coat. He's camel's hair. They will take off their uniform of hair cloth. That's what's going to happen. Just see what it says here. It says here, they will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. They'll stop dressing up as a prophet in order to deceive. They'll stop doing that. And they will have cuts and wounds on them that they will say, oh, I got those in having a fight with my pals at home. Now, what were those cuts and wounds in reality? They were the things you did to yourself as part of worshipping idols. Some of you will know, not everyone, but some of you will know about the priests of Baal, who when they were trying to get water to, when they were trying to get a sacrifice set on fire, they cut themselves, did all sorts of things to try and get God to set their sacrifice on fire, which is never going to happen because their God didn't exist. These people who have cuts and wounds from false worship will now be so ashamed of what they've done. They say, oh, I got that playing with friends. Thank goodness for people who write commentaries. I never would have understood that in the Bible. What's needed is a change of heart. And this is what Ezekiel says. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. These people, God says, are going to have a completely new heart. No longer will they bow down to worship idols. No longer will they speak falseness. And they'll be so ashamed of what they've done, they'll seek to cover it up, to get rid of it. Refining through fire. Severe judgment will come. Two-thirds of the people will perish, but a third will be left who submit to God and allow him to refine, test them, make them pure and holy. And the end result of this cleansing, banishing the idols, will be they will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. The covenant relationship between God and his people is re-established. So that was that day that was coming. That's what Zechariah is coming. What about us? What is God doing in our day? He is releasing those who are under the power of idols when they repent and turn to him. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. All of us here need to hear this word. If we are ever tempted to bow down to others, to put our trust in others, we have to say, no, we're going to go to Jesus. This passage has in it another pointer to Jesus. Who was the shepherd, the man close to me, God says, who was struck, and all the sheep were scattered? It's Jesus. Jesus himself quoted this scripture when he was arrested and all his disciples ran away from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. The way that we are saved from the power of idols is by Jesus, who has been struck and died and risen again. So power is now available. It's interesting, this power of idols, it sneaks up on you. Leslie found in a conversation she was in with a group of people, when they heard about the miraculous healing, it was, how did he change his diet? So I have been healed by the worst cancer there is by changing my diet. I mentioned this to somebody and they said, God, you could get rich on that diet, couldn't you? You imagine if you offered that to everybody who had a cancer diagnosis, if that were true. But that was one. Another was, have you been to a healer yet? And that's a person who's part of a spiritualist group, trusting in clairvoyancy, mediums. Have you been to that type of healer yet? So right there, right next to us, there are people who would want to say that your healing didn't come from Jesus, and it was through him and by faith in his name, and only that, that I'm healed, because nothing else has happened. This was all discovered and found after I'd had the lump removed. God has then added miraculous healing to it. Miraculous healing, only him. But the temptation to put our faith in something else is huge. So, he is releasing us from the power of idols. And he is purifying his church. We cannot expect our nation to banish the names of idols. There are people who think we can, there are people who pray we can, but this is not Christendom. This is not a Christian country. It has a country with Christian heritage, and we can ask and appeal to MPs and the government to banish the names of idols, but we can't expect it. Neither, like the Israelites, could expect the Canaanites to give up their worship of idols. But we can make sure what we can do is banish them from here, from the church. That's what we're called to do at the moment, I believe. We can always lift up the name of Jesus and say we will not put anyone or anything ahead of Jesus. It's not for us to judge and condemn the world. It is our job to judge in the right way and hold accountable one another and other churches. Absolutely, because that's what the Bible says. You can read that in 2 Corinthians. Preach the true gospel and have nothing to do with false teaching. Test everything against the word of God, the word of Jesus, and be alert to the deception of the enemy that sounds like tolerance. That word is a really interesting word. We're asked to be tolerant, but the most intolerant people are those that don't like someone else having a different view to their own. So, release us, Lord, from the power of idols. Purify your church. Enable us to preach the true gospel. Ask the Lord for the spirit of community, the spirit of impurity, to be removed from the church. The church is rife with sexual immorality as it copies the culture around us. Israel copied the Canaanite culture around it. And we do exactly the thing. Following Jesus comes at a cost. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. What will be the result if we do this? It'll be exactly the same as the one Zechariah spoke of. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. The covenant relationship. That's what happens when we do the right thing. When we cooperate with God in banishing idols, refusing to listen to false prophets, and surrendering to his refining Holy Spirit, we call on him and declare he is our God. This fountain that's opened up for the house of David, for the followers of Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has sent the fountain to purify us, to refine us. So, do you have an idol, the name of whom you need to banish from your tongue, from your home? Are you trusting in something or someone else to save you, to provide for you, and they can't? Is that idol stopping you enjoying a relationship with the true God? Have you been listening to false prophets, whether it's on the internet particularly, or somewhere else? Or have you not been listening to God's word enough so you don't actually know when you are hearing a false prophet? We have an obligation to know the word of the Lord. And we don't have to be experts. We just need to know a bit more tomorrow than we do today. Do you need the Lord to refine you, to remove impurities? Our focus needs to be on Jesus, the one that was struck, the people were scattered, but then rose again to bring us back. All who turn to Jesus for forgiveness are forgiven. No matter how far you have been scattered, you can come back to the shepherd of your souls with a single prayer, a single sigh. Each one of us needs to do what Thomas did when he saw the marks on Jesus' hand and side and say, my Lord, my God. I'm just going to read those words from Ezekiel again before handing back to Sheila. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
Thank you, Stephen. Don't sing two songs. Just sit where you are. Just be blessed by the words of these very short songs. But they definitely what Stephen said, it just follows through with these songs. That's what I think anyway. But let's sing the first one. Cleanse me from my sin, Lord. Put thy power within, Lord. Take me as I am, Lord, and make me all thine own. Just sit and sing and be blessed and do what you need to do. Whatever God has spoken to you this morning, just come before him and use these songs. Thank you. Jesus, whether you're not sure, whether you know you do, or whether you don't want, God still wants you to come to him
because he loves you. Mm-hmm.
You're very precious to him, mm-hmm. and he longs for you to come. So we need to respond to that, respond to it. But you can do it whenever it's right for you, but do it today. Don't leave it till tomorrow. You may not be here. That sounds a bit harsh, but it's true. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you this morning, however he has spoken, in what area of your life, get it sorted. Get it done. And then you will know Jesus very, very much more. So I would encourage you to do that. Could I ask David and Rowena, please, to come up for the offering? Oh, sorry, for the prayers. Sorry. I could say age-related, but that's a bit naughty, isn't it? Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, you are our God in whom we trust. There is no God beside you, and there is none who is your equal. You are holy, and yet you invite us into your presence by the blood of the Lamb. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, holy. Your name is holy, holy Lord. You know our hearts and hear our prayers about all that concerns us. You know and understand how our hearts ache to see our loved ones come to you. Help us to remember that you love them more than we ever could. Thank you that nothing is too difficult for you, and there is no pit so deep that your love can't reach into it. Thank you that you wait with arms open wide for the prodigals to return, waiting to celebrate that they are home. We pray that they would see the truth and that the barriers they have put up would come tumbling down so that they can see you and know you as their Saviour and friend.
Holy Father, thank you that you want us to share in your work of reaching out to others with your good news. We pray particularly for Abby as she goes with YWAM to Australia and Papua New Guinea. We pray that she may have the gift of confidence and make good lifelong friends. We pray that you provide all her finances and keep her safe. Please grant to her and her parents your shalom, your peace, enabling, and wholeness, and make her a blessing to all she meets. We pray for our friends, Caroline and Victor, as they come to an end of their present sphere of service. Please grant them wisdom and peace and protection as they say their goodbyes, and please grant them travelling mercies as they return to the UK in October. Also, please grant them wisdom as to where their next field of service should be. And finally, Lord, we pray that you'll grant to each one of us your holy, gentle, and wise boldness as we seek to share your good news with others. Amen.
Lord, I worship you. I worship you, for your name is holy, holy, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we remember how you welcomed children into your presence and how you told us to be trusting like the children. Thank you for the children and young people you give us. We lift them before you and ask you to keep them safe in this world from the many dangers they face. We pray that they would know you as their own personal saviour. We lift before you all the Christian holiday clubs, beach missions, and young people's gatherings. Give the leaders wisdom, and may the seed sown in the young people's lives blossom and flourish as they continue to grow in you.
Holy Father, thank you that you love everyone and you encourage us to bring to you all who are in need. This morning we pray particularly for those who mourn. We remember how you cried at the funeral of Lazarus, and we thank you that you share in our suffering as we mourn. Please draw alongside and comfort all who mourn. We particularly pray for the funeral and service of thanksgiving for our much-loved friend Hilary. Please comfort us all. Also, please help those who suffer in any way, physically, mentally, or spiritually. Please ease their pain and show them a good way forward. Please grant to each one of us wisdom as we seek to comfort others. Amen.
Amen.
As part of our worship, we need to take up the offering, because that is part of our worship. Sorry, I'm not coming through again. Anyway, I can speak very loud if I need to. Okay. So could the stewards please wait on us for the offering? Thank you. Father, we thank you for these gifts that you have provided, that they may be used for the increase of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I hope you're all in full voice for the last hymn. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Yes.
Thank you.
You might want to use the instruments, Liz.
Amen. Amen.